If there were a world record award to give for world's greatest delay of game, it would definitely go to 2020. But even though MLB had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Right now, Indeed is offering listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/SBMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/SBMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
Pod of Their Own. This is episode 61 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my co-hosts, the sick Linda Cervich. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
And Kellyanne Healy. Hello, Kellyanne.
Hello, Allison. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
Linda went on vacation last week and came back sick, of course, you know.
I was vacationing with two small children, so.
As one does.
Yeah,
that's what happens. Children, those little germ carriers.
Yep.
okay, sure. That's not funny.
Of course,
just that cough was like perfectly accentuated the end of the sentence.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying so hard to hold it in too.
Don't hold it in. Better out than in.
I'll mute next time.
Speaking of things that are bound to cause illness, the 2020 New York Mets, everyone. So as we
you know, I got sick on Saturday back when I was in Mets country. I don't think this is a coincidence.
No, probably not. You caught it from
because I lived in like Mets like free bliss for a week, and this is what happens when I come back.
Of course. As we record this on Tuesday night, September 8th, the Mets are getting their clock cleaned by the Baltimore Orioles, and John Means, who they just kicked his butt last time they faced him, and now, the shoe is on the other foot, and Michael Wacha is once again not pitching well. So instead of Zach Wheeler, the Mets have Rick Porcello and Michael Wacha, and that has worked out just about as well as we thought.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just them. It's the whole collapse of starting pitching besides DeGrom. I mean, Syndergaard leaving with Tommy John, Stroman opting out. There's no depth. Brody said there was depth at the beginning of the year, and there's no depth whatsoever.
Yep. Yeah. And David Peterson not pitching well in his most recent outing is not a good sign either, because he had been one of the few like bright spots in the rotation, and he also didn't pitch well against the Phillies.
So that's Peterson, that was probably bound to happen eventually.
And yeah,
he's a fine for like a fourth starter, but not as a two.
Yeah,
which is what he kind of was for a while there. So, yeah, and then having this game back-to-back after, I mean, Wheeler was good, and then he had a typical Wheeler, like, one bad inning start, but overall, Wheeler's been fantastic this year, so.
Yeah, he's like a borderline Cy Young contender. He's been really good.
I've been talking about this with some of my friends about how the Cy Young race this year is ridiculous. Like, the numbers that, like, the National League pitchers are putting up this year is ridiculous. And I don't know if it's just because the pitchers have, and, like, I mean, the batters haven't been able to catch up because they didn't have a lot of practice time. And, you know, there's a lot of stars struggling, which we've seen with the Mets, with, like, Pete and McNeil, and Yelich has been really bad, and Altuve. So it seems like the pitchers have had an advantage this year, and except for the Mets pitching.
Right.
Saved a ground.
How did they manage that? I don't understand this.
This season was always going to be screwy, no matter what. It was just a matter of how.
Yeah, that's true. But why are the Mets always on the wrong side of the how?
I don't know. But, like, that said, like, the Yankees are apparently injury city right now. So they were, and I believe preseason predictions had them going to the World Series. So it seems there's a cloud over New York entirely, except for the Toronto Blue Jays, who is New York's best team right now.
Yes. New York's best baseball team, the Toronto Blue Jays, which
good
for you. Can we adopt them?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? My cousin's a Blue Jays fan, so I find them easy to root for.
I am still bitter that we didn't have a Blue Jays Mets World Series in 2015.
We would have won, man.
Yeah, we absolutely would have won.
It wasn't even about winning. It was just about all the fun storylines there would have been.
Joey Betts,
the offense versus the pitching, Stroman and Mats, and Dickey and Syndergaard and Darnell. Oh my God, that just would have been such a fun series from a baseball standpoint.
I think at the time, like, Dickey and Colon were like the oldest pitchers in the league, because they faced off during the regular season that year, and it was like one of the oldest pitching matchups.
Yes.
Yeah.
What could have been?
Yeah.
I think that the thing that sums it up best about the Mets starting rotation was this tweet from DeComo after Seth Lugo's start. And this was a few days ago, so these numbers are different now, and probably actually even worse, even more stark. Jacob DeGrom and Seth Lugo starts 1.70 ERA. All other Mets starters, 6.44 ERA.
Oof. That's an oof.
Yeah, it's a big-time oof. And, like, the problem is that Seth Lugo is desperately needed both in the rotation and in the bullpen. Because they had the game, so we'll talk about this Philly series a little bit. They had that game yesterday where they got down to an early deficit that looked, pretty much unsurmountable, and they came back from 6-0 down and they tied it up, and then they went to extra innings and they lost because they didn't have any competent relief pitching. But, like, and so I see the people on Twitter getting upset that Seth Lugo could have won that game for the Mets, and probably would have, quite frankly. But the problem is that if he didn't start that game he started earlier in the week, they would have lost that game, because instead they would have been starting Hoomst. I don't know.
Someone in the game thread tonight said that a bullpen game would have been better than Waka starting, and I'm looking at Gesellman in right now. There's two on base, and he's in a 3-2 count with, oh, never mind, in play runs. I take that back. Some more runs just came in, according to game day. So,
runs,
like,
runs.
A bullpen game is, there's just no pitching. There's no pitching outside of DeGrom and Lugo. And to me, Lugo isn't totally reliable yet, mostly because he's being bounced around so much. So there's no stability with him in terms of, like, his place. He's a good pitcher, but it's like he's getting jerked around, so he can't, like, settle anywhere. Does that make sense?
I think he's settled in the rotation now. I think it's, like, getting to the point now where he's settled, because I think that he's seeing what's going on around him right now, and he doesn't see how he's not a starter in 2021 at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That would help.
Like, I think he's in the rotation now. They have no choice. They have no choice. And if they're not going to sign, like, 3 or 4 starting pitchers in the offseason, which is what they need to do, they have no choice.
But the free agent pitching class is, like, not great this year.
Yes, that's correct.
It's who? It's Bauer. It's Stroman. It's
Odorizzi.
Oy.
I mean, I forget who I was talking about this with, but at this point, if you're comfortable with Jimenez at shortstop, do you trade Ahmed for starting pitching? And but then you would be selling low on Ahmed. So would you package like Brandon Nimmo?
I don't know. It's because on one hand, I'm inclined to say...
Because eventually the outfield's going to be too crowded. You can't keep Conforto, Nimmo, JD, Dom...
Yeah.
McNeil. So you got to start choosing.
Well, presumably the DH is here to stay. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that'll help. But, like, on one hand, I see that. I see the crowding in the outfield, and I think that they can trade from a position of strength in order to shore up a position of weakness. But then on the other hand, I think to not too long ago, when the Mets couldn't buy a run and they had no offense at all, and it's like finally they actually have position player depth, sufficient position player depth, and this is what that looks like, finally. And now the pitching's gone to shit. The Mets can never have all their wheels turning at the same time.
And speaking of pitching going to crap, the score is now 9-1.
Yes, 9-1. Oh, I mean, the Orioles can hit. The Orioles can hit. They can hit dingers, too, which they've done in spades tonight. But yeah, I mean, Robert Gsellman looks awful, in addition to Michael Wacha's struggles aside.
He's got a 10.32 ERA. That's
been
bad.
Dreadful. And, like, he was the one that they really needed, especially once Lugo went to the rotation, too. He was the one they really needed to step up in some role or another, either as a long reliever, because he was the only one left that could throw multiple innings in relief besides like Chasen Shreve, who's been surprisingly good, but they really needed Gsellman, and he has been dreadful. He's been dreadful.
Because your bullpen and guys, your spot starting, the bullpen is just getting absolutely like, oh man, my brain. They're exhausted.
They're exhausted. They're overworked. They're
overworked. I think that they're was overworked. The word. And
not just that, but like I think finally they have an off day tomorrow. So all of like they haven't had an off day in I don't even know. I would have to look at the schedule, but they haven't had an off day in a while because their regular scheduled off days have been taken over by makeup games.
Okay.
So that's another problem, too, is that a lot of these teams that have makeup games are at a bit of a disadvantage because they lose their off days.
Okay. I looked up free agents for next year, and if we trade Nimmo for starting pitching, Marcelo Zuna and George Springer are both free agents.
They should absolutely sign George Springer. Because they don't have a center fielder.
No. Just putting that out there.
I was a big Nimmo in center is absolutely fine.
Castellanos, too. That might be a decent...
Wait, who was that? Who was the other one?
Castellanos. Oh. Castellanos. I mean, like, the Mets have been in love with him forever.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Ooh.
That's a very Mets get as well.
That is Metsy.
It is.
Could see that. It's the problem is
just saying there's options.
Yeah, there are. It's just like
it's better than the outfield. I mean, it's better than the pitching.
Yeah. I was very much a proponent of Nimmo playing center field, and like I always said, like he's fine there. It's really fine. But this year his defense has taken a huge step back, frustratingly.
Yeah.
And now he's basically not playable in center at this point. The Mets outfield defense is pretty bad. Conforto's solid in the corner, but
my whole thing with this is how much of what we're seeing this year is anomalous because of how the season has unfolded.
I don't know. Nimmo's always been bad in center, though.
Yeah.
It's worse this year, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's worse this year, but has he been bad or has he been like average? I can't remember.
Honestly, bad? Okay. Bad. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to look at the metrics. Let me see.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking up.
Where they go with the Ahmed and center experiment?
They should do that. To be perfectly honest,
they really should.
Yes.
And then again, you can move Nimmo if you do that.
because it's very clear that Andrés Giménez is a better shortstop than Ahmed Rosario, and he's basically replaced him at this point. Like, Ahmed Rosario is virtually benched for...
I mean, I would like to say that, but I would, again, I want to see more out of Giménez just because this is such a small sample size. And this is such a wonky year. I want to see Giménez, like, kind of across a full 162-game season. You know what I mean? Just because there's so many factors, both inside and outside the game, affecting this year that I'm... Like, just for me, I'm taking everything on a very surface level. I'm not looking too deeply into to statistics and not looking too deeply into, like, ERAs other than, oh, my God, this pitcher is performing very badly in this game and across these, like, several games. It's just the pandemic and the fact that it's such a short season. It was a short summer camp, and I don't know.
But who's the real Ahmed Rosario? Was it this bad version, or was it the one who looked good in the second half of last season? Because they're both this pretty much the same amount of sample sizes. The 60 games, the second half of last season. And then now we have 60 games of this season. So I don't know. Will the real Ahmed please stand up?
So, or just gimme Andrés before midnight. Sorry, I just wanted to like just sing that
you
once.
You can't make me laugh. I'm gonna start coughing.
I'm sorry. I type it on the comment on the game thread and stuff, but I always just want to sing it.
So just for some reference on Brandon Nimmo, just to give some numbers to back up the eye test here. Brandon Nimmo's been -3. Outs above average in center field this year, and -1 as a right fielder. So overall, he's a -4, which is not like awful, but it's decidedly below average. It's below average. And his outfield jump is 25th percentile.
Oh,
so it's like, you know,
that's bad.
Right in the middle of below average, like between poor and average. It's like pretty much the definition of below average. Brandon Nimmo has been. So that's that, which is not great. But yeah, I guess the other sort of Mets related topics this week both involve tantrums. In addition to the Philly series being like, you know, frustrating because it was such a roller coaster series again, kind of with the Yankees series. It was like, you know, on Friday they lost to Jake Arrieta, which no one likes to see because no one likes Jake Arrieta. And then they came back, got a really nice win. And then they absolutely, you know, like dominated on Sunday, which was, you know, wonderful. Got a 14-1 victory, which I think was the
with
most
a Jacob
runs
DeGrom start.
In a Jacob DeGrom start. So, of course, they win the Seth Lugo and Jacob DeGrom games, you know. And then, you know, they get, like, the biggest win they've had all year in the 14-1 victory. And then they have the game where they were, you know, down 6-0, came back, and then lost. So that's really, you know, it was an up-and-down series overall. But it was punctuated by... Bryce Harper pitching an absolute fit in one of the games, because he made a really dumb, like, defensive miscue. Basically what happened was that there was a short fly ball, and the Mets had a man on third who could tag, and instead of Bryce Harper coming in on it from the outfield, in which case his momentum would have been going forward and the Mets probably would not have tried to score, he kind of just like lazily allowed Neil Walker, and like I use the word lazily, I don't actually mean that he was being lazy necessarily, because I don't know that. I don't know whether he was being
it looked lazy because he wasn't even making a move toward the play.
Yeah, like he wasn't, so he could have just like... I'm trying to be generous here. I don't know if he was being lazy or if he just had like a brain fart. It was bad either way, though.
Did he not realize how many outs there were?
It's possible.
Did he think that was the last out of the inning?
It's possible. And so he kind of let Neil Walker, the second baseman, like, drift backwards on his heels towards the shallow outfield and make the play. And then the Mets were able to tag up and score on the play because Neil Walker was not able to get the sufficient momentum because he was moving back toward the ball. So it was, like, a really bad defensive play. And then the reason why I bring that up in reference to his tantrum is because later, you know, in the next inning, he was thrown out at first and he thought he was safe and he screamed at the umpire about it. And the umpire...
No, he thought it was a foul ball.
Oh, no, he thought it was a... That's right. He thought it was foul, but...
He thought it was fair.
He thought he hit a double down the line, but the umpire called it foul. And then he got really mad, and he was actually, and he was wrong, by the way, on the replay. It wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
He was, because, like, from the replay, I could not really, okay.
Girardi admitted that he was wrong.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. So, he was wrong, and he was screaming at the umpire about it, and the umpire kept warning him over and over, like, stop yelling at me. And then, finally, he was like, if you yell at me again, then I'm going to throw you out of the game. And he yelled at him, and he threw him out of the game. And it was
like four times that he warned him.
Yeah.
I believe.
It was a very Bryce Harper moment. We'll put it that way.
I was going to say, it wasn't like the ump just was like, okay, shut up, you're done. Like, he very clearly, like, they showed the replay.
I don't want to talk about it. And poor Neil Walker was in the middle of that, too.
I know. Yeah.
So Neil Walker had to deal with Harper's poor defensive play. And there was a shot of Neil Walker's face, which was amazing. Because he, like, looked back at Harper and did, like, you know, you guys all are familiar with the JT Realmuto reaction to Jarrett Hughes' face. That's, like, almost exactly the same face that Neil Walker made at Bryce Harper. Like, the, Jesus Christ.
The Harper in the dugout, too, after the play.
Yeah, like, they were cold-shouldering him. Which is crazy.
And he was, like, trying to explain, and everybody's just like, no.
And they had a really good statistic. I think Harper's been thrown out of games 14 times, and four of them have come against the Mets. Like, clearly the Mets get under his skin.
Living right free in his head. You love to see it.
And I would just like to remind everybody, he got thrown out in the Wilmer Flores game.
Yes, he did. And that was... And honestly, I won't lie, he actually had a gripe on that one because that ball that was pitched him was out of the zone. However,
you can't. In that situation,
argue balls and strikes.
Can't.
In that situation, you cannot argue balls and strikes. And but that, I think... Oh, you go first, Linda.
But they even said during the game, he was having an MVP-type year. Every game mattered at that point. You cannot get thrown out of that game.
No.
But
I mean, especially like the bench was empty at that point.
Yeah. Well, sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck.
Better times.
The other telling thing for me during that whole ejection debacle this past weekend was that Girardi did not come out at all to protect his player.
Nope.
Not even, and no coach came out to protect him until after he had been ejected.
Yeah, and it's like...
That's telling to me.
And after the incident, when he was asked about it, he said... Like, he basically was saying that he wasn't yelling at the umpire for the call. He was like, don't talk to me like I'm five. And it's like, don't act like you're five then. Stop acting like a child and maybe people won't treat you like one. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I have to say.
Well, wait. What did he say after the game? Man, he had a quote after the game. Like, he wasn't being professional. The umpire wasn't being professional.
I think he was saying that during the game, too.
Oh, he was?
Be a professional. Because I was watching a clip on YouTube, and there's a... I'm just going to quote him. John Boy Media on YouTube, he does really, like, great lip readings. And he was saying it during the... And he was saying it during his argument, like, be a professional. Come on, be a professional. And, that's really what got him thrown out, because he kept repeating that even after the umpire asked him to, A, stop, and B, said he wasn't going to talk about it. The call was the call, and that was it.
Right. Yeah. Here it is. Harper said, I said, don't talk to me like a 5-year-old. Just be professional with me. Let's have a conversation. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, why would he say, don't talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old? Like, did the umpire just say, get out of here? Like, I'm not going to discuss it?
I think the umpire, like, didn't want to broach it at all. Just because, okay. I don't know.
Which is in his right. He made the call. Suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah.
And if they really thought it was a fair ball, your manager could have challenged.
Or asked for, I think, can they... They can challenge the foul ball, or was that?
Oh, can they? Or no? But
I was gonna say they can probably ask for an umpire review though.
Or can they only challenge it in once it's past the bag? I don't know. That rule is weird.
Yeah, yes. I think that's the case. I think you can only challenge fair foul after, like, beyond the bag. I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. Well, so I was wrong, but still.
But still, like, they could have asked, I think they could have asked for an umpire review. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's just one of those non-reviewable calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so, but then, you know, it's like, that day it was like, ha, the Phillies are so embarrassing. But then, of course, the Mets out embarrassed the Phillies, as always.
Well, they embarrassed themselves even more on Monday, and they still won.
Yep.
That's the most impressive. Yeah, the Phillies wanted them to win that game.
Yeah, they tried to hand that game to the Mets, and the Mets were just like, no, thank you.
They did that in Philadelphia, too. The Phillies, like, absolutely Metsed all over themselves and still won. Like, this just isn't the Mets' year. It's just face facts.
I'm just taking the season for what it is and enjoying each game and thankful that there is a game. There are games to, like, complain over, even though they're really, to me, I still don't think there should be games, but that's me. So I will be appreciative even if they're bad.
Yeah.
Mets baseball is better than no Mets baseball.
As I said, as I've been saying the whole time, if the Mets win the World Series this year, it's totally legitimate and counts. But if they don't make the playoffs, then it's a fake season and we shouldn't care anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I think we're all in agreement here.
Sticking to it.
If there were a world record for world's greatest delay of game, it would definitely go to 2020. But here's the thing. Even if your MLB team got to take a break, your business didn't. And hiring has to keep moving, even when the game stops. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because it connects you to the best candidates fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you payment flexibility and full control over your hiring, so you only pay for what you need. Plus, you can pause your account at any time and there are no long-term contracts. Indeed also gives you powerful tools to make your search easier, like sponsored job posts, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. 73% of online job seekers visit Indeed each month. Maybe that's why over 3 million companies have trusted Indeed to help bring on the important hires that keep your business moving. Right now, Indeed is offering listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/SBMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/SBMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
The protests against police violence in America have become one of the largest movements in American history with the help of access to cameras, social media, and internet organizing. But when images of police violence go viral, they affect everyone, from the people who record them.
I was confused, but I was enraged at the same time. So I had to use my mind, take a step back, and keep using the camera that I use.
To the people who watch them in their news feeds.
And we're getting our first look at police body cam video showing the tasing and arrest.
The Verge's new multimedia project, Capturing the Police, explores this national reckoning by talking to the people on the front lines.
This incident really changed how our community really does things because everybody really took a part in taking a movement and making it into something else.
You can view the entirety of Capturing the Police the videos, the reports, the guides, the interviews at TheVerge.com.
But yeah, so I guess the other tantrum involved with the Mets this week was that of A-Rod and J-Lo. So as we mentioned on the last pod, Steve Cohen has moved into, quote, exclusive negotiations to buy the Mets. And we are sort of hearing rumblings on Twitter from, like, the certain, like, unreliable sources that tend to tweet about these things first but aren't always right. So we're not going to, you know, say it's confirmed or anything like that, but we're starting to hear rumblings that, like, it's done. Like, the deal is done. They just haven't announced it yet. But we don't know that, because it's not from, we haven't heard it from, like, an actual verifiable real source yet. That said, what we did hear about is that Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo are, like, quite pissed, publicly pissed about this, and, like, are trying to, like, salvage the sale. And so there were kind of two major articles in the Post this week about this. The first one was the one that, like, basically was about how mad Alex Rodriguez is. And where's the important? I'm scrolling through it to find the pertinent paragraph here. Basically, A-Rod accused the Mets of fixing the sale. Where is it?
What?
Yeah, like, well, yeah. Like, showing Cohen their bid so that Cohen could top it.
Oh,
but the, like, my whole question
Cohen
was that
it no matter what, dude,
that, but also my, like, the first thought that popped into my head was that Cohen's already a minority owner, so would he be able to have access to the bids, even though it would really be a conflict of interest since he's looking for a majority share? But I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's,
like,
the...
My first thought was, like, he's a minority owner, so would be able to, like, have that insider knowledge of who's bidding and what the value of those bids are.
Yeah.
Does that make... Yeah.
So here's the pertinent part of the New York Post article. The former Yankees third baseman is now convinced that the Mets spoon-fed his bid information to Cohen so the billionaire financier and art collector could have the highest offer and win the team. They took bids and showed them to Cohen, a source familiar with A-Rod's thinking claimed. The Mets and Cohen declined comment. Experts tell the Post that it's unusual for a seller to set a bidding deadline and then push for that information in advance. But they also note that there's not much that can be done if Cohen had been given a sneak peek, because the Mets are a private company and can play ball with whomever they want. It's not normal, but things like this do happen, said Stephen Smith, a managing partner at law firm Bryan Cave Leighton Paisner. I don't even know the name.
A million names in a law firm.
A law firm who specializes in sports transactions. In the end, the seller's goal is to get the highest price for the team. But A-Rod's camp contends that the 14-time All-Star would have considered raising his offer if he had been given the chance. A bidding war, sources contend, might have resulted in an extra $100 million for the New York team. But the Mets never went back to see if A-Rod wanted to match or better Cohen's offer, sources said. Rodriguez had been trying to reach the Mets owner, Fred Wilpon, since Friday, but can't get to him on the phone, they added. It was fixed, a second source close to A-Rod camp said. So basically, A-Rod's claiming that they showed Cohen A-Rod's bid, allowed him to top it, and then didn't go back to A-Rod for, like, a counteroffer. I mean, you know, that's just his side. Obviously, we don't know if what he's saying is true. But, yeah, so he's, like, really pissed about the whole thing. But too, I
well,
mean, like, too bad?
Yeah, I was going to say he lost. And then he was saying he would have guaranteed a World Series or donated money.
That was
no one can guarantee a World Series, please.
That was from the more recent Post article, which is from today. So this is like the second big one, which is kind of like the headline of the first one is more or less, I mean, I don't remember the actual headline, but more or less A-Rod's really mad about this. He's going to vent his frustration now. But the takeaway from this Post article from today is, like, they're trying to salvage the sale, and they're making, like, very desperate attempts to do so, and it's, like, pretty, like, transparently desperate, because they're kind of, like, where's the pertinent paragraph? It's the one that Kate tweeted, because Here it is. As part of their pitch, the duo said Lopez, not A-Rod, meaning Jennifer Lopez, would be the control person for the team, which would make her the first Latina woman to be in such a position in MLB. It would also remove the question of whether the polarizing Rodriguez could get ownership approval. So now they're desperately trying to save their bid by pushing J-Lo as, like, the face of the bid, and, like, she would be controlling everything, which, like, first of all, I don't believe you.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it would be cool, but absolutely not.
Like, it's so annoying how they're, like, so transparently, like, being like, we're gonna use, like, false claims of diversity to try to save our bid so we can check diversity boxes. It's like, that's so cynical. I hate that shit. Ugh.
Yeah, like, you lost. It's just sour grapes. And no matter what bid they came back with, Cohen could easily top it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it doesn't matter what you bid. He'll just top it again.
Yeah.
So, and I think, I can't remember, I might be making this up, but I think they said the next two richest owners combined are what Cohen's worth.
Yes, I think it was like the top two owners, I think, currently in MLB are worth like 12 or 13 billion, I think the quote was. I don't remember the exact numbers, and they're whatever this quote was, whatever article this was, said that Cohen was worth that on his own.
Yeah, so it's over. It was always going to be Cohen. As soon as he said he was back in it. It was a done deal.
Yeah.
So, and not for less money.
That's the whole thing. Right now, it's like $300 million less, which I'm cracking up at.
I am too.
However, it's still not official until November. So everybody's like counting their chickens, and I'm like, oh my gosh, guys. Everybody needs to like calm down, until this is done. And just because it is done, he's not going to immediately go on a spending spree. Like, I wouldn't want him to go on a spending spree with this free agent class. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, Real Muto is a free agent. Like, how will he have his own GM in place? How will he be in place by that time? Like, it just seems...
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah, if it's the vote's not until November to approve him, I don't know. Like, Real Muto's a nice pipe dream, but I don't know. I don't know if Cohen will be in place. Will he want to be active right away?
So I mean, Real Muto's the most obvious place where the Mets desperately need an upgrade, and he'd be an immediate massive upgrade.
And even if Brody is still there, we all know Brody went hard after
he wanted
Real
Muto real bad, yeah.
So, I mean, he's on Brody's radar. So if Cohen just gives Brody a blank check, Real Muto's as good as a New York Met. But, I think the Phillies probably have. Although the Phillies, every time I see something, it says like they haven't engaged in talks.
Oh yeah, it's like it's the same thing with like the it's very Metsy with how the
it is very Metsy.
Phillies relationship has unfolded.
Yeah, which I'm kind of surprised at, but you know we were kind of talking about this too. Like the Phillies are kind of they're gonna have a lot of bad contracts on aging stars. It's very quickly.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah. I mean, Arrieta is off the books, I think, this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have Harper,
you have
Wheeler.
McCutchen signed a little while longer, do you not?
Yeah, I think so. Then you got to figure out what you're going to do with Hoskins.
Yeah. They have a lot of questions.
Yeah, they have a lot of questions, so I don't know. Like, can they tie up all their money? And outside of Nola, their rotation is not that good.
Oh,
and Wheeler, obviously.
Yeah, it's like Nola, Wheeler, and then it's kind of Garbo.
Their bullpen's Garbo, so...
A major Garbo.
So I don't know, like...
Yeah.
I don't know if Real Muto will be a Philly next year.
Fingers.
Let's go to Spot Track.
But But yeah, so it's I think, like, so something I was talking, we were talking in Slack about with Jeff, is that Jeff Padnastro, is that, like, what's fascinating to me about this, like, A-Rod J-Lo drama, I mean, obviously, like, they're very much the type of people that like the spotlight on themselves, so none of this drama is necessarily surprising, but if you really want to own a baseball team that bad, like, baseball teams are going to come up for sale in the immediate future. Like, the Orioles, like, are pretty close to selling as well, because their owner is very old and, like, isn't interested in, like, owning the team much longer. And, like, I think the Tigers, there are a few teams that, like, are going to go up for sale in the next five-ish years. And so if you want to own a baseball team that badly, there are other opportunities that you will have to own a baseball team. And you just probably, like, seriously got in the way of potentially owning a baseball team in the future by acting this way publicly.
Yeah.
See, I don't think they want another baseball team. I just think they want a team that's in New York.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, they want the notoriety and the fame.
Yeah,
and
they won't get any attention if they own the Orioles.
No, like, owning the Orioles isn't, like, I don't want to say sexy, but because yeah. The Mets are, like, the least sexy franchise there is.
But the
aura of New York is sexy.
I was gonna say, yeah, the opportunities. There are a lot of opportunities in New York that would not be, that are non-existent in Baltimore.
It's a sexy market.
Yes, I think that's a better way of putting it.
It's a saturated market,
and, like, Even if the Mets aren't, you know, they're always going to be, like, second fiddle to the Yankees in their own city. But that said, like, if you win a World Series with the Mets, you will be heroes forever in New York.
Yep.
And they very clearly want that. I mean, like we said, promising a World Series within the next 10 years was part of their, like, even though that's so stupid because you can't possibly promise that. But, like, that was their part of their pitch, because they know that, like, anybody who wins a World Series for the Mets, because the fan base is so starved, will be heroes, will be adored, regardless of your past, regardless of, it's sad because, like, obviously, like, fans like us, who I like to think are more, you know, conscientious about how we support the team, are always thinking about Steve Cohen's, like, the shady side of him and the unsavory side of him. But, like, most fans will straight up ignore that if he wins a World Series. Absolutely. They will not give a shit.
Especially if he starts spending money, too. Like, it'll be, like, I don't even, like, wow, my brain, why isn't it not working? Work, brain, work. It would be, like, Christmas, New Year's, like, every holiday all rolled into one.
Oh, he'll be Daddy Warbucks for,
yeah.
For Mets fans, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, and A-Rod probably didn't do himself any favors by saying with the other owners, he probably did himself some favors, but when he said he supported a salary cap.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a little...
I mean, he's alienated everybody in the past and present. I don't know.
Can't wait for A-Rod to do Sunday Night Baseball in a Mets game.
I have a lot of speculation, and again, a lot of speculation that's not going to come to fruition until towards the end of November, but I have some preliminary speculation about Cohen. I have a very bad feeling about him, but that's, again, that feeling really won't become solidified until the end of November.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons.
Hard to say. I mean, like we've said over and over, like, I think that there's a lot of, like, over prescribing on Twitter of, like, people, like, assigning a style to an owner they don't yet know.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like, can it be worse? I guess it can always be worse, but, like,
Jeff Loria doesn't have a team right now. Jeff Loria does not have a team right now, and he's still out there. Yes, it can be worse.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very true.
Fair enough.
That's all I will say. Everybody, like, says that. Can it be worse? I'm like, yes, it can.
Well, Jeffrey Lurie also has 2 World Series rings, so...
Yeah, but he fucked over a lot of baseball to get those rings. So
I don't know. I don't know what's worse.
Yeah. Really hard to say.
I mean, the Marlins have won sooner than we have.
Everyone in the NL East has won sooner than we have.
Ugh. I don't know. I think I think he's had an overall negative effect on the health of the sport.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So
that much is absolutely true, undisputably so. But yeah. I guess our baseball story for the week also involves a temper tantrum in a way. It's temper tantrum week.
So many tantrums
here on A Pod of Their Own. Oh, I'm definitely calling this episode Temper Tantrum Week. Noted.
we have our own temper tantrum.
Yeah, I mean, like, absolutely. the Mets are very bad. It's happening right now. But yeah, the other bizarre ejection incident this week we bring up because it is, you know, it is applicable to wider baseball issues. So, bizarrely, Nationals GM Mike Grizzo was ejected from the like luxury boxes of the stadium. So he was yelling at the umpires from the luxury boxes in Atlanta on Sunday, and Joe West and his crew ejected him from up there.
Joe West.
Yeah, which, you know, Joe West gonna Joe West. And then they asked Joe West about it, and he said, "I wouldn't take that from a player. I wouldn't take that from a manager. If it was Donald Trump, I'd eject him too, but I'd still vote for him."
Oh, Christ in a can.
Which is like, you just had to add that like little last sentence on there for no
reason
at all.
For no reason.
It's just going to make like people want to punch you more.
It's just,
it's so unnecessary. You just rub salt in like an already like unnecessary wound of stupidity. Oh my god, I can't. Mike Rizzo, because it was circulated on Twitter that Rizzo was being thrown out because he was not wearing a mask, and everybody's like, but wait, he's up like in the luxury suite all alone far away. And then it was later corrected that you find out he's being was ejected over balls and strikes, which, I mean, I completely disagree with the ejection, but we've also seen people get ejected over arguing balls and strikes. So it's not an unprecedented thing. Was it stupid? Yes. 100,000%. Just Joe West needs to retire. I think that's the other thing with the umpires this year. A lot of the veteran umpires have opted out due to the pandemic, if I recall.
Yeah, a lot of them have. Yeah. The umpiring's been really bad as a result. It's suffered greatly.
Yes. Except for Joe West. And Joe West, I think, actually had like really stupid comments on that in the beginning of the season, too. Wait.
Of course he did.
I have to find
the demographics of umpires are old white men, more at 11. Like,
shocker.
It's like, that's what this is, right? It's like Joe West made that comment, which sadly represents probably most of Major League umpires and a lot of Major League Baseball and a lot of its fan base, which goes back to, you know, issues we've discussed on this podcast previously about representation.
Oh, Jesus. The union distanced themselves from Joe West following the... No. Sorry if there's sound on this right now. Okay. Stop it, autoplay. Okay. Let's see. Oh, I'm ad... No! Ad block. Hang on one second. My computer's getting in the way of me reading this article. Okay, so he was quoted in The Athletic back in July, went on to say, wait, I'm just like trying to read this really fast. Okay, West went on to say he does not believe that the reported coronavirus death totals at the time, it was more than 130,000 in the U.S., and as we know, that number is a lot greater now.
A lot higher now.
Were not all caused by the virus. Here's more of what West told The Athletic. He said, according to our doctors, you're high risk, recalled West. about, I said, look, most of these people that they're reporting are dying are not healthy to begin with. I lost 25 pounds over the winter. I'm playing golf every day in the heat. I'm fine. I'm not going to back down now. I don't believe in my heart that all of these deaths have been from the coronavirus. I believe it may have contributed to some of the deaths. I said, I'm not going to opt out. I'm going to work. And I'm going to work until you take me off the field or I get hurt, whatever. I'm working. And he doubled down the comments, doubled down on the comments to USA Today later during the week. And later that week, the MLB Umpires Association condemned his remarks, saying recent public comments about the current coronavirus pandemic do not in any way reflect the positions of the MLB Umpires Association. Our nation and the world has suffered greatly from this deadly virus. In the midst of continued suffering, umpires are attempting to do our part to bring the great game of baseball back onto the field and into the homes of fans everywhere. So, I mean,
I'm immune to coronavirus because I played golf.
In the heat.
In the heat.
And I lost 25 everything. Pounds.
Lost cannot possibly pounds. Get coronavirus. It's not real. It's all fake. Ay, ay, ay.
And I even mean, if he doesn't get it, you still could give it to someone else.
Right, sure. And I mean, like, you know, it's his choice to work. He's right in that regard. It's his choice.
Yeah.
But, like, for him to act as if, like, it's no big deal for other people, that is wrong.
That's the whole thing. And that's really the whole thing with that. He gives no regard to other people. I think to the other umpires, it was very disrespectful to them that opted out for whatever reason they may have opted out, whether it was for their own individual health, for their families, just because they wanted to, they had that option. Joe West just makes comments he shouldn't make all the time, and he needs to just sit down and shut up.
And then the fact that he said all of that and then claimed he was throwing Rizzo out for not wearing a mask, like, dude, really?
I don't. That's once again, what you're going I don't with? Believe you.
Yeah. Like, you clearly said you thought coronavirus was a hoax, but now you're upset somebody's not wearing a mask? Like,
see, I don't know if he said that. That was circulated on Twitter. I don't know if he ever said that.
Okay.
I thought he was just throwing him out for yelling at umpires.
Yeah.
But, like, would he throw a fan out for yelling at him?
I mean, that's not... I was going to say, I don't know if Joe West has done it, but other umpires have done it. I believe Angel Hernandez has done it.
Oh, yes.
Let's say, wait.
Let me just Google this. Angel Hernandez has done
it. Has Joe West thrown a fan out of a game?
Was he the one that threw a Struble out in the spring training game?
Ooh, maybe. Who was the guy? Was that Hallion? The guy that stood on the plate in front of Todd Frazier on the
yes, that was Hallion. Yeah,
again, yes,
red ass like, thing it was I've ever seen.
And who was the one that posted the gun on Twitter?
Oh God, yeah, I forgot who that was.
Like but we yes. got some real.
I mean, again, umpires are all old white men.
Yep,
like. This is how they're going to act.
Now I want to know who threw a Strasburg's
out. Not a fan. All these results are saying that Steven Strasburg was thrown out as a fan. And, like, he wasn't pitching that day. But, like, that does not count.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he
that was during a Mets game, too.
That happened twice. That also happened to someone else. Another pitcher who wasn't pitching that day. Got thrown out.
Oh, it was Angel Hernandez who threw his Struble out. Of course.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
I mean, usually any of, like, the most ridiculous ejections, can be attributed to one of three people, and that's Joe West, C.B. Buckner, or Angel Hernandez. Like, 95% of the time, it's one of those three if it's, like, a really ridiculous ejection.
Oh, I actually have a fun little story. when we went to Cooperstown for the induction ceremony for Mike Piazza, we went with like a group, with a tour group, and the night before we went to go hear a former umpire speak, and I think Al Clark, is that his name? It might be Al Clark. And he was saying, you know, even the worst person on the 25, on the worst player on the worst team in baseball is still one of the best players in the league, mm-hmm. in the world. And he said, and the same is true for umpires, like, you know, and he said, except Angel Hernandez.
That's fantastic.
That's very funny.
Oh my god.
I was like, yep, that sounds right.
Oh my.
That's a very good story. I think that's a good way to close out our ump show segment for the week. But before we move on to walk-off wins, I would like to officially announce on the pod, we've already tweeted this out, but for those of you not on Twitter who listen to the show, we finished out our Dollars for Dingers fundraiser. We had to wait a little bit because the Mets-Yankees game counted as the makeup from August 23rd that ended up being played on September 3rd, I think it was, the walk-off game. Ended up counting toward the grand total, and then I had to check my math and make sure the spreadsheet was right. We ended up raising a grand total of $2,153.40 for local food banks, which is awesome. I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you so much for making this fundraiser a success. It's been amazing. Despite the fact that we had to change everything from last year, make it a slightly reduced version, you guys still showed up. This is amazing. We're so happy, so thank you. So yeah, like we've been saying, we're gonna have some sort of virtual like Zoom prize drawing. We're currently like scoping out and planning what that's gonna look like. We think it's gonna take the form of some sort of like, we hang out on Zoom and watch the Mets together, and in between innings I just like draw names from a hat and we hand out prizes during the Zoom. So yeah, we've got lots of cool prizes lined up for you guys. I'll tease some of them now for you. We've got bobbleheads. We've got some signed baseballs. I'm not going to tell you which players because that's a spoiler, but we do have some signed baseballs. We have a Daryl Strawberry All-Star plaque. We have 1986 memorabilia, yearbook, World Series program. We've got a Shea Stadium mini replica. We've got classic Mets VHS tapes, and potentially even more for you guys that we're still looking to wrangle up. So we got some fun memorabilia for you guys lined up that we'll draw out of a hat of all the folks that gave pledges and announce the winners. And even if you aren't on the Zoom call and you won something, we'll still contact you if you won by email or by Twitter or whatever contact info we have from you on the spreadsheet. So yeah, look out for details about that. We're still trying to pick a date that'll give us enough time to like plan the Zoom and everything, but it'll be on a night that the Mets night or afternoon, depending, that the Mets play, and it'll be during the game so that we can hang out and watch the game together. So look for that. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for donating, and we really appreciate it. So it's been a really successful pandemic version of Dollars for Dingers. So thanks, guys.
Yay! And thank excellent, you to the excellent. Mets for finally hitting dingers, too.
Yeah, seriously.
They got off to a slow start.
For the second year in a row, it ended on a walk-off, which I think is just, like, so poetic.
That is. That made amazing. Me, like, when I got the you tweet, tweeted that
I did.
I was on vacation, and I looked at it. I was like, "No way!" Like, I almost started crying. Like, I was like, "This can't be real." And it was Pete, our beloved Pete.
Yes, our beloved Pete.
And JD got me an extra bonus that day too. So
excellent.
It's true.
It was a good day all around.
Good day all around. And with the home run, shout out to Vaz, because with that home run that Pete hit at the very last at bat of Dollars for Dingers, he tied for the team lead for August, which kicked in a bonus for Vaz's donation.
Oh. All right.
Vaz paid extra $20 if Pete led the team in home runs in August, and Pete tied the home run lead with that home run. So that was pretty
nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Wow.
And meanwhile, Jack kept putting his foot in his mouth and adding to his. Because Jack had like a big bonus for Nito home runs, and then Nito had that game where he hit two home runs, and then he was like, Allison, I'll add $1 for every, like, during when Seth Lugo was making one of his first starts, Jack was like, I'll add $1 for every out Lugo makes beyond this, and he just kept like making outs, and I was just like, hey Jack. So he ended up tacking on an extra $15 just because of Seth Lugo. And there was one more thing. I can't even remember what. Oh, yeah. He added $50 because he didn't think that Major League Baseball would make it past August. So his was plus $50 if MLB, like, finishes August, which it did. So I was like, Jack, you just keep racking up your total, man. So he ended up having the highest total, I think, out of everyone because of all the bonuses that he had.
All right.
But yeah, so great success. Really happy. Thank you, guys. Keep a lookout on Twitter. And as soon as we have a date, we'll put it on the site and we'll announce it on the pod as well. So keep an eye out. It'll be sometime in like late September, probably. With that, we will move on to walk-off wins and finish the show on a happy note like we always do, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. Kellyanne Healy, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Oh, just having a 3-day weekend.
Yes, it was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. I just actually haven't had like a 2-day weekend where I've had 2 days off in a row in a really long time where I didn't have to stress about anything. And I got to watch a nice Jacob deGrom game on Sunday, which is a nice little treat. So that's my walk-off win, just being able to relax.
Yes, very important.
Linda Cervich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Mine is also that, because mine is my vacation. I'm getting to relax. But, you know, we ran into some rain going down because it was the remnants of Hurricane Laura. So, I mean, we ran into some downpours. And then it rained a couple nights. There was, you know, we couldn't really go in the water because there was a hurricane out at sea, so there was really bad rip currents. But, you know, it was after everything that's happened this year, and, you know, I was just thankful that we were able to get away since so many other people had to cancel plans. Like, yeah. Even if it had rained every day, I would have been happy, like. Because it was not looking good that there would even be a vacation this year. And there was masks were required for every store you went into in the boardwalk. People were wearing masks on the boardwalk. Everybody was spread out on the beach. There was like Purell stands all on the boardwalk. There was hand sanitizer in every store.
New Jersey's been on top of this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so they were I felt okay. Other than, you know, my niece and nephew coming down with the sniffles and literally giving it to every single person in the house. But besides that,
but being able to recharge is always an excellent thing, especially in these crazy ass times.
And I hadn't seen them, like, when, you know, we were all quarantining and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't see them. Like, I FaceTimed with them.
But that's not the same.
Spending a full week in person with them, it just, like, I was like, when did Danny become such a little chatterbox? I was like, you grew up. Because he's 3 now, and...
He's 3. Enough said.
Yeah, he's 3. it's been so rewarding because, so, you know, we've gone to Ocean City every year that I've been alive. And even before that, my mom went there as a kid. And now seeing my niece and nephew fall in love with a place that like I've loved for so long, it's been so rewarding. So, and yeah, like you said, just getting away, recharging, hearing the waves, the ocean. Ugh, that's my version of heaven. So
yes, and that's a good version of heaven. So, yeah, that's an excellent version of heaven, personally.
Yes. So that's my walk of life. Even if I was in Philly's territory, I survived.
It's New Jersey. It's not really Philly's territory.
All the stupid freaking Pennsylvanians come to the Jersey Shore from outside the state.
Yeah, and there was flyer stuff everywhere. I was like, ugh. But then the Flyers lost. So
really, Flyers? Dude, it's hockey. New Jersey has its own team on that one. Come on,
that's
guys.
That's true. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's something.
That's the one sport New Jersey now still has a professional team left in.
Yep. Yeah. My parents and I, all the people from like Philly and like from Pennsylvania that come to the Jersey Shore, my parents and I call them landies because they don't have any beach of their own to go to.
My uncle would fondly call me a Benny. The acronym, the way I learned it, there are different interpretations. Benny is Bayonne, Elizabeth, New York, Newark. And I think that's it. I think that just Benny's was added on. But B could also stand for Brooklyn. I've heard that. Now I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look this silliness up.
I've heard it stand for like counties too, like Bergen, Essex, like... Yeah, like North Jersey counties.
Oh.
Oh, but Morris is not in there, and we're like Big Benny.
Yeah, yeah.
Benny is a pejorative term used year-round by residents of the Jersey Shore to describe stereotypically rude, flashy, loud tourists. Oh, my God.
From North Jersey. I swear I'm not one.
Yeah, no, it's Bayonne, Elizabeth, New York, and New York City.
Okay, so I'm not included in that.
Well, no. New York.
Oh.
New York or New York City? Yeah. Depends. It usually refers to New York City, so you're okay.
Okay. I swear, I just go and have a good time, I swear. I walk on the boardwalk, I do some shopping, and I go home.
You're not allowed to do that, Linda, without being made fun of.
I mean, New Jersey's economy is based like very much on tourism, so they shouldn't necessarily be, you know.
Yeah, knocking it.
Yeah, especially crapping on the people like, that help them.
I was gonna say, especially this year when there was very little tourism, or at least like much less tourism than there typically is.
Yeah, exactly. So my walk-off win for this week is like somewhat baseball related. But we, as everyone knows by now, we moved to a new apartment in Washington, D.C. And so like, you know, we've been like fully moved in for a while now, but we're kind of in the phase of like, you know, decorating and like getting like things that like, you know, really make the place feel more like home. And so I had been looking into like trying to buy some sort of Mets wall art because obviously like both the people that live here are massive Mets fans. And so I really wanted something that was like classy that I could hang in my living room because like as of right now, the only like Mets like stuff I really had on display was like all my bobbleheads, which I have in my office here where I'm recording this podcast, but they're like on a shelf in here. And then I had like my David Wright poster. It's like David Wright holding up that 2006 NL East champs like poster on the field after, you know, they clinched. So it's that poster, but like that's like, you know, that's like a thing you put in like a like office or like a man cave or something. I wanted like classy art that I could put in the living room. And so I researched on Etsy. I asked for some input from, you know, from Amazing Avenue, Slack, etc. And I finally settled on I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but it's S. Preston Designs, and he's at Poot Poot on Twitter, like Pooch Pooch. Yeah, so if you go to his Twitter, he's amazing. He's an amazing artist. And I think he's probably most famous on Twitter for all the ballpark princesses he draws. So he'll draw, like, Disney princesses and, like, just put, like, put them in, like, you know, MLB uniforms. And that's always really fun. But another thing he does, and it's, like, not just baseball stuff, it's, like, all sports, is he does minimalist ballparks. So it's hard to describe exactly what it is. It's, like, a certain style, but it's what you would think it is. It's, like, minimalist, like, ballparks for every team. And so it has, like, the Phillies one is, like, just the Liberty Bell and, like, nothing else, more or less. And so the Mets one is, there are actually two Citi Field ones. There's the Home Run Apple and Shea Bridge. And they're very minimalist in the sense that it's just, like, the wall, the like, center field wall that's, like, blue with the orange line, and then the Home Run Apple, and then just, like, a green, like, a plain green background. And then the Shea Bridge one is kind of the same thing, except instead of the apple, it's the Shea Bridge over the wall. And they're really cool, prints, and I had my eye on them for a while, and I finally pulled the trigger on them, and I bought a couple of really nice frames to go with it, and we framed them and hung them up on the living room wall, and they look amazing, and I'm, like, so happy with how it turned out, and I just feel like it really makes our apartment look like home, and it makes me happy every time I look at them. So that's my walk-off win. Very simple walk-off win, but a walk-off.
But like we said, it's the little things.
Exactly. It is the little things.
And the Labor Day weekend, the fact that we got a 3-day weekend, like, gave us a little time to, like, do stuff like that. Like, we got a chance to, because, like, it wasn't just that, like, I had other things that I had been meaning to hang on the wall that were, like, already framed, but I just hadn't hung them up yet. So we kind of spent part of our weekend just, like, going around and hanging up all the things on the wall that we hadn't hung up yet, and putting the prints that we got in the mail in their frames and hanging them up. And it was just like, so now we have all of our various wall art hung up in all sorts of places in our apartment. So now it just feels a little more homey, which is exciting. And I got a wall clock that has the correct Roman numeral 4 on it.
Yay!
Yay! For those of you that don't know that background, when I lived in Baltimore, I had a very classy looking Roman numeral wall clock, which I loved. And so, like, I bought it in the store. I was like, this is great. But then it has, instead of, like, you guys know how Roman numerals work, but instead of the 4 being, like, IV, it was 4 I's. And I was like, no, that's wrong. And so I had to stare at this incorrect wall clock for, like, 6 years. It drove me absolutely insane. So I said to myself, when I moved to DC, I said to myself, I am not doing this again. I am not getting an incorrect one. I'm making sure that it's correct. And so I bought a new wall clock that is correct and won't drive me nuts, which makes me really happy. So that was
a very pretty clock.
It's very nice. I like it. It goes well in the room. So yeah, our rooms are very now nicely decorated, which makes me happy. So that's my walk-off win for this week.
Yay!
But while you wait for your wall art or wall clocks to arrive, or your next vacation, you can go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out all of our fantastic Mets content. Even when the Mets get their asses kicked by the Baltimore Orioles, we still have game recaps for you guys. We have analysis, roster moves, all the various things you want, all your Mets content, AmazingAvenue.com. You can go to Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and follow the site at Amazing Avenue. You can follow the show on Twitter. We are at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow Linda and I on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Cervich.
And you can find Kellyanne on Goodreads and sometimes on the A Pod of Their Own Twitter account.
I might be there. I have to talk to you guys about this post-game, but maybe this weekend.
Heck yes, please take over.
Or maybe during the DeGrom start.
Oh, I'm thinking about, that'd be really
good.
I'll have
to see, like, what time that is.
Yeah, because I feel like we had a tradition. I mean, we still have it. It's just that, like, pandemic has gotten in the way. But we've had a tradition in the past of, like, live tweeting games with various gifts that are themed. And Linda did one this year with JD gifts, which was really good. But we used to do it a lot more often. And I feel like we need to do it more. So Kellyanne should do one this weekend. Yes, let's do it.
It will be ABBA themed.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Wait, can you do Mamma Mia?
Yes.
Okay.
That is entirely ABBA.
Okay. All right.
It will be Mamma Mia ABBA.
Yes.
This is amazing.
Mostly because it is inspired by Andres Jimenez. And just because in the game thread comments, also come join me in the game thread comments on Amazing Avenue. I'm one of the moderators, if you didn't know.
Yes, please join. Please join the game threads. Come join us.
I will take credit for this, but we started to say gimme, gimme every time Andres Jimenez gets a hit, which turned into gimme, 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 which is an ABBA song. I sang a little piece of it earlier this podcast. So I'm going to now study up on my ABBA lyrics and try and come up with things for each player.
Well, ABBA pretty much anytime they do anything, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Yeah.
It's just, that'll probably work for anything.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, follow us on Twitter to get that. You should also subscribe to Amazing Avenue Audio and get our full suite of shows and review the podcast. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.